Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy in the air-conditioned comfort of Casa de Bacon. I am Craig, joined this week by Bobby.
Hey, guys.
And Howie.
I'm in the air-conditioned comfort of Bala Buzz. I don't know. I can't think. I'm on my feet. Then again, I'm on my feet. But yeah, I'm also in air-conditioned comfort.
It is hot in Western New York this week.
It has been, and it's going to be hot for the next several days, too.
Hotter than it has been, too. I have no idea. It's a good thing we've had the air running for about a week and just got to keep it cool, man.
It's going to be a warm one. So
that was Craig's subtle dig at the fact that he likes West Side Story better than Hamilton.
I've never seen West Side Story.
Well, there's a song, Play a Cool Man.
Oh. No, I like 1776. I like how you tried to trick me, tried to, you know, throw it at me that John Adams doesn't have a musical, and I threw it right back. Yes, he does.
I haven't seen 1776.
Yeah, it's so. About John Adams' struggle to get them to do the Declaration of Independence and sign it. It's a pretty cool musical.
I believe it.
And then I got backed up by my good buddy Jennifer Kopp, who is a music teacher and studied theater in college. So, yeah, I'm good. There's your mic drop. Boom. Yeah, so the backstory on that is Hamilton is now on Disney Plus, and my two littlest ones love the music from it. I can't stand the music from it. It's not my type of music that I'd like to listen to. So I said I would watch it. I made a deal with them. I'll watch it, but you have to watch the John Adams miniseries. And the argument was, but Hamilton's only 2 hours long. Why is John Adams miniseries like 10 hours long? Because John Adams is better. And I'm not sure they were impressed.
Has anybody watched what the other one wanted yet?
No.
Is it going to happen?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched bits and pieces of it. I watched bits and pieces of it, and I go, who the heck's that? They go, Thomas Jefferson. I go, Thomas Jefferson is played by a black guy on this? And like,
the whole show is inclusive and diverse, and it basically tells America's history then with America's current population now.
I get that, and I understand that, and it's a great message. But the fact that Thomas Jefferson was black, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, takes away from the things he did as a slave owner.
There's actually a line in the show about him talking to or about Sally Hemings. I saw on Twitter the other day somebody was doing some research on Aaron Burr and got surprised that Aaron Burr was white, which means they need to actually open a book more than just pay attention to pop culture.
Right.
So, and this, you're going to be impressed with this, Craig. I'm going to relate Hamilton to Ready Player One, right?
It's pop culture time on The Dads Must Be Crazy.
Yes, and then I promise I'll try to avoid it most of the rest of what we talk about. Ready Player One was a book, I don't remember whether you said it, I said it, someone else said it, but we agreed. It's a book for people who don't like to read. And if they read it, they might be inspired to pick up something else because it was fun. And they might find something that they choose to read because of what they just read. It was fun, and it had that very nostalgic feel to it. Hamilton is a show based on the biography by, I think it was Ron Chernow.
Yep, that's who it was.
And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his last name 100% accurately. But at the same time, after it dropped on Disney Plus the other day, sure enough, you look on social media and people are poo-pooing it. Not nearly as nicely as you have. It's social media, of course.
I don't have a problem with the story. I think it's a great story. I have a problem with the music.
Right. Right, and it took me some getting used to when I went and saw it a couple years ago. But what I'm getting at is that Hamilton is a show where you have to understand it is based on actual events. Many of the events that are in the show did happen, but it is up to the viewer or the watcher or the listener or the reader to be like, did that really happen? And do the research. And if it inspires somebody to pick up a book and read up on Hamilton and then say, oh, well, who's this guy? And then read up on another guy in the show and, oh, who's this guy? And read up on another. Then, as far as I'm concerned, it's done its job because it has inspired somebody to actually learn and to actually better themselves and not just be like, oh, well, Hamilton says this. No, Hamilton is based on something. Hamilton is not 100% accurate. But for what it is, it's damn good.
It's mostly accurate.
And cheers to me for being 1 degree separated from Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, I couldn't say his name the other day, but I said that someone was greater than he was. Oh, Paul Giamatti is greater than Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's what I said.
I will give you that one. Paul Giamatti is fantastic.
He's an extraordinarily versatile actor.
He is very versatile.
No, I was going to say, the 1 degree, a guy on my floor, freshman year in college, turns out he went to high school with Miranda.
That's really cool. I mean, it took a lot to write the thing, so kudos to him for writing it.
Yeah, I mean, credit where it's due. It really is good. So anyway, let's continue. Let's move on.
Now, before we get into the meat of this, because it's going to be a meaty sandwich, I watched that movie Buffaloed, which was about the city of Buffalo, written by a guy from Lockport, and I thought it was funny. And it was satire. Once you realize it was satire, you got through some of the stereotypes. It was a good movie. I was posted to our shenanigans chat, and I got, that movie sucked. I'm like, no, it didn't. It sucked. It was actually a pretty good movie. So if you guys want to see it, I have it. I own it. I will disinfect it before I bring it to your house or whatever.
Okay.
So anyway, today's subject is one that could be touchy. And I don't mean it to be touchy, but it kind of irks me that people think this way. What I want to talk about, people who think they know better than you do on how to raise your own children. You're laughing. I was not laughing yesterday. It was not pretty.
Are you aware of what went on yesterday, Bobby?
No, he's not.
No.
I'm not going to repeat it on here. Okay. I'll throw it onto a chat later because I want to be as vague as possible because it's not only that situation. Everyone has their own way of raising their kids, and they think their way is going to work for everybody, but every family dynamic is different. One of the things that I noticed, and I know you guys all know this too, we have multiple kids. You have multiple personalities. You have people who have grown up in the same house, raised by the same people, and given the same set of rules, but they're wildly different. And we see it with the twins. We have, the twins are the oldest. One is laid back and quiet. The other one is in your face. They're both wonderful kids, but their way of looking at life is so drastically different. And sometimes it rubs me the wrong way because, okay, stand up and speak for yourself, or can you calm down a little? All in the same sentence, depending on who you're talking at. My dad gave me the best piece of advice about that, because I said something, isn't it strange how the same kids growing up in the same house and stuff are so different? And, you know, how can this one or that one be so good, the other one cause so much trouble? And my dad's like, first of all, stop right there. You did nothing wrong, because there are moments you think, what have I done wrong that, you know, that kid acts like this? You know, especially when you have more than one and they act so different. And my dad goes, it's not your fault. You did nothing wrong. It's just that person's personality. And you can try to form it to the personality that works, but sometimes, especially again to teenage years, the more you try to do that, the more they're going to push back. I am of the school of, here are the rules. I know you're going to bend the rules, and that's perfectly acceptable, but I'm going to give you a warning when you're close to breaking them, and then back off. So I'm kind of laid back, but I've been called overbearing and super strict because I won't let my kids do certain things.
By your kids or by whom?
By my kids and other people who get the stories from my kids. And you know how teenagers are. We were all there. Like, our parents are the worst. And 9 times out of 10, they're not. The rest of my dad's thing is, don't worry about what other people are saying, because it's none of their damn business. You know what works for you. You do it. but there are always right. people who seem to think they know better than you and have no problem just telling you that.
I'm curious. Now, how often do the people who know better than you, metaphorically speaking, or hypothetically speaking, theoretically speaking, whatever ethically speaking you want to use, how often do the people who know better than you have kids of their own?
They have kids of their own.
It'll happen frequently, too, if the person in question does not have kids.
That happens a lot.
You, oh, well,
or if the kids are real young and yeah. they haven't gone through that moment yet, then you have a lot of that. Oh, this is what I would do.
Exactly.
Like, we have a child who has emotional issues, and we've had people say, you just need to beat it out of her. No, I don't think you understand that.
No.
You don't beat it out of them because it just makes it worse. Because it's oppositional defiance. It's the harder you rail against it, the more they're going to rail back at you. Now, should you let them scream in the middle of the store because they want something and not getting in their way? No. Should they go screaming on the backyard because they're having a meltdown? No, but sometimes once they blow off that steam, it's a shit ton better.
Yeah, change it to shit load, and it's a proper noun, and it's a unit of measurement, like in Blazing Saddles.
Biggest pet peeve is, what gives you the right to think that you can tell me how to raise my kids? I may not agree with the way person A raises their children, but it's none of my damn business to say anything to anyone.
We've touched on a couple different things that have happened to me regarding this topic in the past. The funniest story is when I was in a store at one point, my wife and I didn't have kids yet, and there was a kid a couple aisles over just having a fit. Not like a, oh my goodness, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that kind of fit, but he was being loud and obnoxious. And I whispered to my wife, I go, yeah, when we have one, he won't be like that. And there was a guy standing nearby who heard me.
Famous last
and he
words.
Said, oh, yeah, well, that's mine. I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, I just had to get away there for a minute because he was driving me crazy. But I thought the same thing when I was like you, and you'll learn. It'll happen. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. He goes, no. He was driving me nuts. I just had to walk away for a few minutes. He wasn't angry with me at all. He was just like, you'll learn. Don't worry, you'll get there. So, you know, anybody who doesn't have kids thinks they know the answers. And then when they do have kids, they realize that there are no answers.
There's none.
You're always winging it.
Yeah.
You're always winging it. And you do what works best for your kid. Just because somebody else thinks that it works well for their kid doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work well for your kid.
Oh, yeah. It's all three of mine have ADHD. And then I have two with peanut tree nut allergies. And so my father-in-law, whom I hate dearly, and it's no secret in my household, my wife knows, and she's like, that's cool. So we're on the same page. But anyway, my beehole of a father-in-law was like, yeah, just give them little bits of peanuts and tree nuts, you know, and then they'll build a tolerance. No, it doesn't really work that way.
No.
Maybe for some kids, but definitely not mine. So he wants us to go out to dinner with him and his wife, which is my wife's stepmother. They're like, yeah, we're going to go out to eat, and it's going to be this Chinese food place. And I was like, really?
No,
I was like, we're not doing that because my kids have peanut tree nut allergies, and there's peanuts and tree nuts and a lot of Chinese food. Well, they can just eat off of the buffet in the non-peanut tree nut area. And I'm like, you don't get it. That's not how it works. Like, child number one gets some Kung Pao chicken on one line, takes said, you know, big spoon and rolls over to the non-contaminated side and gets chocolate pudding with it because everybody knows Chinese food and chocolate pudding go together.
I actually didn't know that, but good to know. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying that anytime you go to a Chinese buffet, there's always chocolate pudding on the buffet line.
Right.
And so I was like, dude, just cross-contamination. I'm not going to, you know, risk my kids like that. Like, can we go somewhere else? You know, and we're paying. And he's like, no, we're going to do Chinese food. And I was like, that's great. You enjoy your Chinese food. We're going to eat somewhere else. Have a nice day. Click. Like, done. And that's a real sore spot for me. Like, my father-in-law tries to run my family, and I've told him to go pound sand several times. And I have no problem doing it because I do things my way. I do things the way I was raised. My wife does things the way that she was raised. We combine that, and we get some funky thing. Don't know how it works, but it does. But other people are like, you should do this and you should do that. Hey, you should take a long walk off a short pier. Go shove some pie in your hole and be quiet. Let people raise their kids. I mean, as long as they're not raising their kids to be murderers and sociopaths and all that other crap, who cares? You know, it's the beauty of this country. You're free to do what you want for the most part, provided, you know, you're not breaking any laws. But even then, you can still do it. You just pay the consequences. Free to think what you want. Free to worship who, what, whatever you want. I mean, for God's sakes, there are people who worship this thing that, you know, if they think it's going to come down and, like, eat the earth and stuff. Mostly people in Hollywood. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you have all this freedom. Go bug somebody else. And it does not take a village to raise children. It takes dedicated parents. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I don't need the doctor to raise my child. I need my doctor to fix my child when my child breaks my child. When my child breaks their arm, that's what I need. And I need some medical advice, so I know how to do at home care.
Right.
I don't need the doctor to tell me how to raise my kid. I might need help from a psychologist or a mental health counselor to help me get my child through a very difficult portion of their life that said therapist is not more knowledgeable on. However, I need to know because I'm the support system at home. Okay, so I'm the one that's going to be there. That little 1 hour every 2 or 3 weeks, it does help, but I'm the one that's enacting the plan of action. You know, I'm executing that plan. I don't think it takes a village. I do think we get a little help from here and there, but that doesn't mean just because I get a little help here and a little help there that other people are raising my kids, nor does that give them the right to tell me how to raise my kid, okay? Because you can bend over and shove it right up the old chocolate whiz way.
I never heard it quite put that way. The other thing that kind of irked me about things was, so the story is coming from a teenager, we're overbearing and non-accepting and stuff like that. And another adult's response is, well, you can come to my house to escape all that. That's not what you should be doing. You should be finding out what the story is. Are you blindly taking a teenager's word for something? I'm like, seriously?
I would have lost it right there. I would have lost it. I have seen these posts on Facebook where people are like, oh, if people don't accept you for your sexuality or because you're gay or because you're a member of LGBTQ and all this, or they don't like your ideas and this, you can come to my house. I'll be your mother then because I love you. No, I will stomp a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry. I'm sorry. You have got to draw the line somewhere. Maybe I don't want my kid to think that. Now, I'm not trying to keep my kids contained in a box or think the way they think. You know, like we just had a thing with my oldest where she was kind of confused about something. And so we explained it. We didn't push her in one direction or the other. We just kind of explained things. And the explanation was neutral and non-biased. And so they were like, okay. And then they kind of make up, you know, she made up her own mind and was like, okay. And we're like, okay. I mean, either way, I'm going to love my kid, whatever my kid decides, but I don't need, oh, you can just come here and freely do whatever you want. And, you know, that's why I love you. Okay. Do you want to pay all the insurance for my kid? Do you want to take them to all their appointments? Do you want to discipline them, pay to feed and clothe them and house them and provide them with utilities? And, oh, when they break your stuff, I'm not paying for that either if you're their mama now. Seriously?
I want to make clear, too, that I love the idea that the kids would have someplace, someone to talk to if they have a problem. Because that's important.
That's important always. Yeah.
But at the same time,
that's me, their parent.
They can't undermine what I'm doing. There's sometimes you can't talk to your parents.
I agree with that. Absolutely 100%. It's when you undermine what the parents are doing, exactly as you said. Mm-hmm. That is infuriating. It makes me want to take all that undermining and throw it into a pile and set it on fire.
Yep. Yes. It's a big bonfire I got to have in my backyard again at some point soon, so you can bring it over here.
Awesome. We'll do it with the melted wheelbarrow. We'll get it from my SUV to the bonfire.
The melted wheelbarrow is still right there.
Oh, okay.
I see it out the window. I haven't melted it anymore yet.
I mean, you know, it goes back to that thing. It's like, you know, when you were talking about how parents go, oh, so you're just babysitting. No, mother, father, I'm parenting because I'm dad. It's what I do. And then you go and you step on my toes and you're like changing a diaper. Do you know how to change a diaper? This is only my third kid, and this one's 9 months old. I have no idea what in the hell I'm doing. You know, I'm just going to take this. I'm going to sling shit everywhere. You know, I'm going to take dirty diapers back to Walmart and be like, man, they already got shit in them, you know, and get me a new pack. I have no idea what I'm doing.
I guarantee that I changed more diapers when the twins were still in the hospital before we came home than my dad ever did his entire life. Guarantee it.
I believe it.
I was just going to say, you know, times have changed. You know, women, obviously, what was it, 1920, women got the right, women's suffrage movement. You know, they got the right to vote and won an equal rights and all this other. It, you know what? I'm totally fine with all that. I think they should, because I want a partner who's equal than someone who's subservient, right? I look, my wife is my partner in crime. She's equal in every way to me. I got it. You know, and I have no idea where I'm going with this because I just lost track.
I will tell you this. I think
I had a point to make.
There is a small percentage of the male population who think that women are inferior. And there's a group of them who, a large group, I would say, who think they are superior because, and I'm one of them, because I'll tell you what, no matter how much stuff I do, my wife still does more. And she's been under the weather all week since Tuesday, and she still does more than I do. And I've picked up a ton of slack.
Craig, I heard exactly what you just said, but I think I know what Bobby was trying to say.
I know where I was going with it now. I was going to say back in the 20s and the 50s and the 60s, when men were not as involved in parenting, it was expected that the woman would stay home, take care of the home, and then rear the children. Now, with new modern times, women are out, they're CEOs of companies, they're business owners, they're everything you can think of. They're in every field all the way across everything. A lot of them work. There are more stay-at-home dads now than ever before.
Yes, there
and
are.
So, but since men have started, we've started changing our mentalities, you know, going women can do pretty much anything they set their mind to. And that's all great. But when, I'm probably going to piss some people off, but when are women going to get out of that mentality that men are helpless when it comes to raising children? Because as more and more women have stepped out of the house and have gone back into to working, men that don't work are left at home to raise the children and to take care of the home. Now, I'm not saying we're as good as the women, but damn it, I don't burn it down. I can cook a damn good meal. I can change a diaper. I can still turn a wrench and cut the grass. I mean, I can still do everything that, you know, stereotypically a man would do. I may not be as gentle as mommy, but, you know, we'll put some super glue in that cut and wrap it some 100-mile-an-hour tape and you'll survive.
I was going to say a lot of what you just said. I was going to say it exactly like you just said it. I saw somebody post an article on Facebook the other day. It was, I think, from CNN about how quarantine has made many guys who have dads who have been forced to stay home have had to step up. And I just looked at it and it was a friend of mine from high school. I said, really? You know how I feel about this, right? And I didn't even leave a response. She's like, well, I know how you feel about it. But I know a lot of people who would be, you know, thinking, oh, this is so true. I'm like, it's not true. It's like, people are like, well, I'm staying home and I can't believe this happens and I can't believe this happens. Like, you're a freaking parent. Given the year in which we live, it's 2020. Forget everything else going on right now. The fact that it's the 21st century and everybody is interconnected. We're recording this virtually. So if you really need a question answered in your home and mom's not around, dad can call mom and say, hey, what do I do with this? Because I'm not sure how would you like me with type of thing, right? People can talk. Communication is always key. That's one of the reasons why when my wife and I first got cell phones for each other, and we made sure that I could take pictures because she was working so much when I was home, she wanted to make sure that she saw pictures of the kids. So I would send various photos of our son and then our son and our daughter. By the time we had number three, she was home a lot more often, so I didn't need to keep doing that. But I mean, the fact that everybody, you know, you see dad out with a kid and you're like, hey, you know, a dad seeing another dad out in a park with kids, no big deal. A mom seeing another dad out in a park, too often we hear stories of, oh, so it's, you know, you're babysitting today. It's like, no, I'm the dad. It's parenting. I'm here. That's what's going on. So, and I agree with just about everything you said, Bobby. I may not have said it the way you said it, but I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, I kind of have my own unique way of saying things, and I mean it's perfectly fine that we, you know, may have a difference of opinion. That's what
I'm agreeing.
Part of it makes America great. So I wouldn't be mad if you disagreed. I know Craig said this is going to be a little touchy subject. It makes me want to throat punch people. But when I'm parenting, and it's pretty much nonstop, like between working, trying to stay fit and go to the gym, doing karate with the entire family and everything else. I mean, I'm around my kids almost, I mean, with the exception of when I'm at work, which is part-time at this point. I parent, I won't say just as much as my wife, but probably 75-80% of what she does. I mean, honestly.
The biggest thing is, as parents, and this goes for moms, dads, grandparents, if they're in the picture as often as regular parents are, the biggest thing is the example you set for your kids. And as long as you're setting a good example and your kid is, I don't know, Bobby, if you said it or Craig said it earlier, as long as your kid is turning out to be a decent human being, and when they go to somebody's house, you find out and you go to pick them up. Oh, were they good? Oh, yeah, they were great. If I hear ever, well, this happened, and well, I'm like, well, then I'm going to have to, you know, examine some of what I'm doing to illustrate, you know, the example for my kid. But as long as I keep hearing, oh, yeah, so-and-so was great. You know, I like getting report cards back. Like, so-and-so was a pleasure to have in class. It means we're doing something right.
Absolutely. So
that's where the biggest kudos for ourselves, you know, the pats on the back that we would give ourselves, that's where that would come from, is from the reports from other people. If our kids are going to be ridiculous at home with no one else around, so be it. If they're going to exaggerate how we respond to their ridiculousness to other people to the point where we get upset about that because the other people think that we're doing something wrong, there's the issue that brought this whole subject up.
And that was part of the issue, definitely, over the last couple months, that just yesterday put it right to the test. It put 2 years of anger management right to the test. And it was a win because I didn't say a word. I stuck my head into the door and I told Wendy, I'm walking home. I'll see you later.
Discretion is the better part of valor.
I didn't want to cause a scene, and it was close.
Oh, there are some times where I'm like, nope, this is happening. You know, somebody crosses that line and you just, you know, you have to put a stop to it and let people know it. For me, I've done this before, mostly with my in-laws, because they like to push and try to test boundaries. And I make sure that they know exactly where those boundaries are at. This is it. This is how we're doing it. Take it or leave it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm, you know, not flexible, because I am on a lot of things. But when you're trying to force me to do something, it makes me not want to do it that much more. So,
I agree with that sentiment exactly, though I also welcome advice from people who have already been through it, but I don't want unsolicited advice.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that one. You know, if I ask you for advice, then by all means, give it to me. But if I didn't, that's a hard no, buddy.
And it may look like it's not handled. It is handled.
My favorite, I don't know if you guys experience this. If you're out in public and you got your whole family, for me, it would be my youngest. She starts being a little louder than we might want her to be. She's not throwing a fit, just being a little loud. My oldest will be like, you need to stop it. You need to do this. You need to do this. I'm like, you need to sit back and be quiet. Now, do you guys ever have an issue where one of your kids might start doing something and one of your other kids will tell you what to do to stop the other kid from doing whatever that thing is?
They usually skip the middleman and to go directly to telling Josephine what they're doing wrong, what she's doing wrong. Like, listen, we don't need you to parent. I'm the parent. You don't have to deal with it. But we've had that.
I think I mentioned the whole collar thing, whatever. But we went out to a pizza place here in Medina at one point.
Yep. You're telling us about that.
Raina was just coloring and she was singing to herself. Who's going to care if a 5-year-old is singing to herself?
Nobody.
Probably very few people. And the people who do care have a problem of their own.
Probably named Karen or Ken.
Yeah. So she was singing to herself and Alex was like, you got to quiet her down. Shh, quiet her down. Like, we're in a pizza place. It's a pizza and grill. No one cares. It's lunchtime in the middle of the week. Well, she's being too loud. I'm like, you're exacerbating the situation. Sit there quietly. Talk about something else. Craig, you're talking about anger management. That's where I suffer. That's where I fail frequently, is when I'm told how to parent by my almost 14-year-old son. He's like, you should do this. I'm like, you should be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my biggest issue. That's the one I'm still working on controlling. But otherwise, I'm like, someone tells me to do something, I'm like, really?
I definitely have an issue with people I know telling me how to raise my kids. But when strangers say something, then that's a bad thing. I remember once Corlys was super little, so the twins were going, they might have been in kindergarten or first grade over at Washington Hunt, and it was March, and it was cold, and Corlys at that time hated anything on her feet. I'd put socks on her, I'd put boots on her, and she'd kick them off on the ride over. Well, you know what? If I take her out and her feet get cold and she complains, then she'll know to keep them on. So I took her out. I had her wrapped everything except for her feet. because she kept kicking stuff off her feet. And this little old lady, she was a grandma coming to pick up her kid. She goes, "You shouldn't have your kid out here in the cold like that." And I said, "I know that. And I've tried to put socks on her and I try to put boots on her and she keeps kicking them off. It's just a battle. I am not willing to fight anymore. I figure that when she gets cold, she'll just want to put them back on and then it'll be no more problem." She goes, "Huh," and walked away. The next day, she came up to me and apologized, saying, told me, you know, that I was wrong. I shouldn't have said anything to you. It's none of my business. And I was like, you know, I understand completely where you're coming from. I mean, you've been a mother and a grandmother, so you understand mm-hmm. that these kids can get cold and stuff, and it's not good for them. But how many times can I bend down and put socks and boots on a kid when there's snow on the ground?
Oh, exactly. I remember walking into a supermarket in Ohio at one point when we were living out there. Tegan was like less than a year old. And, you know, forget being told how to parent. You know what I also find annoying is people who just insult your kids. Just, it wasn't even like a kindly, oh, you know, they walk up to your kids and they're like, and like, of course, this is pre-COVID. So they would be like all touchy feel, like, oh, like, and they touch the head, touch the face, like, oh, she's so cute. Don't this? It was the middle of winter. So my Tegan was like 9.5, 10 months old. And when Tegan was really little, Tegan was a very chunky baby. So I walked her into the supermarket because I had to get a couple things. I didn't even bother putting her in a cart. I'm holding her because I had to get like two or three things. So I picked up a basket and walking in, and this one old lady walks by me and goes, "Oh my God." I go, "Sorry?" She goes, "Look at that fat baby." I'm like, "Excuse me?" In hindsight, it was kind of funny the way she said it, but it's like the fact that she said it was just so daring and rude. It's like, give me a break. But that's the other thing. And then, you know, you're walking up and down an aisle if your kid starts screaming and another parent or a grandparent will be like, "Oh, you shouldn't do that because something's going to happen. And, you know, you're going to upset daddy, or you're going to, or if it's holiday time, they're like, Santa Claus won't come," or stuff like that. It's like, how do you know what we do and what we don't do? That kind of thing. So I know that the people who say stuff like that, their heart, they think, is in the right place. But at the same time, it's like, just mind your own business. I really enjoy the people, though, who walk by. I'm like, my kid will be crying. And this is just generally speaking. I've been in stores where one of my kids is crying and somebody's walking by and they have a look on their face like, oh, my God, I can't believe this dad is letting this kid cry like this. So you know how you can pick up on body language sometimes? I look at my kid, whichever one it is, whichever one it has happened to be, and I'll be like, you can scream all you want, but I'm betting this person walking by is also a parent who has also told their kids no before. And guess what? It's still a no. So let's keep going. And at that point, the mom or the dad, whoever it is walking by, like, you go, dad. And I'm like, thank you very much. And I'll keep going. And my kid will keep screaming. And I'll be like, I got groceries to shop for and you got to deal with it. It's one of those preemptive strikes where you're like, I know what's going on. I know my kid's being loud, but this is why, and I'm handling it.
Well, with that, I think we're pretty much going to wrap up. I'm going to add one thing in here. The twins went Thursday for their permit test. We have two legal permitted drivers in our household now. And we also bought and licensed a car on Thursday. And my driveway is wide enough for three vehicles. We've only parked two vehicles in it for the longest time. And so now that everyone knows where to park, I went out and bought reflective tape and taped parking spots in my driveway. And I am currently looking for two rubber curbs, you know, the parking curbs, so that I can, so they don't run into my garage.
Probably a good idea.
But that, I thought that was the right thing.
I saw the photo.
Yeah.
That looks nice.
It's a conversation piece in the neighborhood now.
Absolutely.
All right. So thank you for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy. For Bobby and Howie, I am Craig. Join us again next week. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.